Welcome to the Smile Reconstruction Dental Implant Podcast, where we talk about all things related to dental implants. My name is Josh Muir, and my partner here, Dr. Tanner Townsend, and we've got a special guest for you today. Tanner, why don't you introduce Dr. Ratowski?
Thank you. So Dr. Ratowski is the program director for the Jacksonville University Comprehensive Oral Implantology Master's Program. Dr. Ratowski has an extensive background in implantology. He is a diplomat in the American Board of Oral Implantology, and he has an extensive background that I'm not even going to attempt to rehearse because it is so well done. So I'm going to let Dr. Ratowski do that and kind of share his background.
Dr. Ratowski, how are you doing today?
Hey, I am doing great. It is a thrill and a distinct pleasure to be here with you and your audience today. I look forward to this opportunity of getting the word out about the JU, Jacksonville University Comprehensive Oral Implantology Program. I know that you've been working with the program with it since its inception, and I thank you dearly for that. I also know that you've got a great associate resident in your practice, and Tanner Townsend. So you're doing good things there, and so I appreciate this opportunity to let the rest of the world know about what we're doing down there in Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, again, thank you for joining us and creating this opportunity for us to visit together. And so your job or your title in the Jacksonville University program is what?
I am the director of this Comprehensive Oral Implantology program, and I have the responsibility of overseeing the entire program, all of the clinical sites, as well as the didactic program, and putting it together. And I think it's really important that this program, like a program like this, exists because it is the only master's degree program, university-based master's degree program, so legitimate, real master's degree, not a mastership, but a master's degree, that is put out by a university that allows general practitioners to enter into the program. Our program is open to all people in dentistry that care to learn more and become the very best implant dentist that they can become. So if one is a periodontist, yet they desire to learn more about in depth about implant dentistry, because in that perio program, you learn some things about implant dentistry. And in a perio program, mostly surgical, you do learn some prosthetics, but you don't necessarily do those prosthetics. Oral surgery, you learn surgical component, not necessarily the whole package and the follow up and the maintenance of it, because the oral surgeon does his thing and then moves on. And prosthodontists, they may not get all the surgical training. Yet in this program, you get the oral surgery, the perio, the maintenance, the prosthetics, the post-op, digging out of complications, whatnot. And it's open to general practitioners. So you don't have to be an oral surgeon, perio, pros to get into a fellowship in implant dentistry. You can be a general dentist and get in this and get a master's degree and learn intense, thorough implant dentistry to help your critical thinking skills to help your patients.
What is the goal of the program? If you could say, you know, in one line, what is the goal? What are you trying to accomplish here with these residents that participate in the program?
We're trying to equip our graduates to be the best educated in implant dentistry that there is in the world, not just a oral surgeon, prosperio, or a general dentist who's learned some implant dentistry, maybe through continuing education and whatnot, and not to poo-poo those things, but to get a deeper dive into it for our practitioners to help their patients back home.
And that is, I mean, that's a big job. Hearing you say it, it sounds like it's, oh, well, that's not too bad. You just teach them the stuff and you're done. But that's a big deal. There's a lot going on there. And so with your career, you know, why you as the director here? Now, I know the answer for why you, but why are you chosen? And, you know, when I heard that you had been tricked into taking this position, I mean, excuse me, when you had accepted this position, I was very excited because even though I had never met you, I had seen your name all over the place Would you mind going over some of your credentials and some of your experiences that have made or helped you be just the right person for this program?
Well, thank you for those nice words. That's kind of you. I started out as a pharmacist. I went to pharmacy school, and from pharmacy school, I went directly to dental school. After completing dental school, then I went into private practice, and I did a fellowship program with the Midwest Implant Institute and Duke Keller and Jack Hahn in Columbus, Ohio. Really dove into implants. I graduated from dental school in 1976, but started placing implants earnestly in 1983. And you know, we didn't have all the fancy kits. We didn't have the all the diagnostic tools, the CBCT scans, all of that stuff. So it was a bit of a cowboy, which we all were in implant dentistry at that point in time. The universities hadn't taken a hold of it yet, so that we didn't have a lot of evidence-based ways of doing everything that we were doing. It was pretty much by, you know, this is what he did, this is what, you go to a meeting and you talk with somebody, you take a course, and you pick up what you can from that and move forward. But after I got my kids, my wife and I got our kids through college, and then I decided I wanted to go back to school. I always loved pharmacology. I'd done a fair amount of bone grafting with limited success, as we all had at that point in time. And so I went back to school to get a PhD in pharmacology, because I saw bone grafting as being nothing but a pharmacological principle, where you're going to go ahead and put something in there. You've got to excite bone cells. You've got to get signaling pathways going, receptors activated, get osteoclasts to do their thing, osteoblasts to lay down the new bone, call in stem cells, do all the things. And so I created my own research project on the use of autologous blood products, blood concentrates, white blood cells, and platelets for bone grafting in the oral cavity, which eventually got expanded to include spinal fusion. I opened up I put a lab in the lower level of our office building. I hired technicians and we did research. And from there, when I got done with my PhD program, then a couple of universities asked me to come and teach with them. I decided I just wanted to stay in private practice. So I only went to the universities on a part-time basis, University of Pittsburgh, University of Buffalo, and started a research company on further bone grafting and things that could enhance bone grafting results, making it more predictable. And from there, started incorporating it into things. I worked with some orthopedic surgeons in spinal fusion, and we were able to come up with some predictable ways of doing things. And that then continued me throughout my practice. At the end of my career, my wife and I retired to South Carolina, but I still practiced 2.5 days a week in Pennsylvania. I needed to have predictability, because when I left my office, there was nobody left there. I no longer had associates. I kind of had things pared down, and that worked well for 5 years. And then I retired. I did some more teaching with Roseman University, as well as the University of Buffalo. I was lecturing, and I was kind of retired, and I was enjoying life when Duke Keller called me and said, Jimmy, would you take this program? And I said, you know what? I'm really enjoying life. Everything's fine. And he said, well, do me a favor and think about it. And I said, well, Duke, I'll think about it, but I think the answer is going to be no. And about a month later, he called me. He said, well, when are you going to start? And I said, I thought I'd answered that question. And he talked to me again. And I said, well, okay, Duke, I'm going to give it some thought. Then the dean of the university called me. They looked at my credentials, my experience of having done research, having been in academia, and having been in private practice, because this was truly a hybrid program like anything else, nothing else, in that it was in private practices as well as in academia. And so I met with the dean and the provost and a vice president, And I got off the phone and I said, you know what? I went to the dog pound. They put the puppy in my arms. And, you know, once you hold the puppy, you're going to bring it home. And so I brought it home. And I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying it. It's it is a lot of work. The days are long. The nights tend to be short. But I love working with the residents. I love working with the residents directors, the types of things that are being done. It's very rewarding, and to see that the patients that are helped with it. So I think we're going to make a difference in implant dentistry in that it's going to allow the general practitioner to become well educated. It may lead into specialty, maybe it'll end becoming a subspecialty of oral surgery, perioperosis, and general dentistry. But I want general dentists to be involved in there because everybody has a place in implant dentistry. All those recognized specialties, but the general dentist in particular has a real space there because these are lifelong treatments, and it's the general dentist who treats the patients for a lifetime. The other specialties, they may come and go, but the GP is there with them.
Well, I appreciate that introduction and an explanation of what led you here. And again, what an asset to the program. And I've got to say, it almost looks like the longer you've been in this program, I think you needed it because you actually look younger now than when you first started with the program. So, I mean, I don't know for sure if that's true, but we'll say it is.
But that's nice that you would say that.
Why don't we talk about, you know, some of the things I like about the program, and what people may not realize is oftentimes these postgraduate training programs that, for example, dentists will take to learn how to place implants, they may just be over a weekend and there'll be a little bit of hands-on, but they'll get set up with equipment and then they'll go back to their office and they'll try things out, which can work on a number of different things. But at the same time, it's hard to get really good when that's the approach to education that's available. So, Dr. Ratowski, one of the things I like about this program is that it's not one of the weekend courses. This is something it's a three-year program, and it should be morphing into a two-year program, which it sounds like we're losing a whole year of training, but really what it is, it's condensing and focusing and bolstering up and making it a really intense 2 years of daily training. I think what an amazing program that is.
It's 3 years now, but in another month, I will be meeting with the curriculum committee at the university, and we are going to be presenting the case to take it to a two-year program. I think that's going to be better use of everybody's time. I mean, these are young people that are in the program principally, and they've got to get on with their life. They do have school loans that they have to start tackling and all of those things. They want to get on with their family life and getting their practices and getting established, so that we feel that we can make this a two-year program and still educate them sufficiently well, particularly since they're working on a daily basis with a director, a well-experienced clinician.
So as we look at that, a two-year program, residents can start a case, they can go through every aspect of healing, they can complete a case and then have that patient function on those new implants and new crowns or restorations into the future, all during their training program. And I think that's just an invaluable opportunity that allows you to see every step of the way.
Tell us about some of the interesting things that the program is doing in order to get residents good hands-on training, good exposure to different technologies such as exocad and CTs and all that. What are some of the things that you're really trying to accomplish?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find the appropriate clinical settings, and whether that be individual private practices or whether that be 501c clinics, where they may be serving the underserved populations, maybe low-income populations where they need dental implants and they may couldn't afford them in a regular setting. But these clinics and private practices, they can bring in the associate residents who will then work in those practices, and they are to do everything that an associate would do. This is real world training. This isn't just in a university or hospital setting. And we have to remember that the overwhelming majority of implants are placed in the outside world, in private practices and in clinics, not in dental schools and not in hospitals. So this is the real world training that they're getting. So they're getting a patient in, they are diagnosing, treatment planning that patient. The practices or the clinics, they may give a lower fee because it is a resident doing it for them. So somebody that maybe couldn't afford it, they're able to now get into this treatment modality, the finest treatment modality there is for dentistry, by going ahead and getting implants as opposed to, you know, having to suffer with removable prosthesis and things of that nature. So what we do is we go out and we try and find the best individuals out there in the real world placing implants. And that can be oral surgeons, perioprofs, or general practitioners. And what we do is we look for clinics that do a reasonable volume of implants correctly. And we like them to be involved in all aspects of that treatment, from the diagnosis, acquiring the patient, diagnosis, treatment planning, getting acceptance to the treatment, surgical management of that patient, whether they be sedated or not, depending on what the patient's needs and the case requirements are for them. Then moving through all the postoperative care with them, ways of enhancing that postoperative care for them, whether it be using the autologous blood concentrates with it, or stem cells, or recombinant BMPs, whatever it takes to get this case to this patient to the very best that they possibly can. Then getting it through the healing stage, then restoring the case. And that's where none of the other programs puts it all together like that. And that's why I really believe that our residents come out with the greatest total experience in implant dentistry. That's not to say that other programs, they're not well-educated. I'm not trying to say that at all. But what I'm trying to say is that we are giving the best overall education in depth to improve those critical thinking skills. So for all the way from diagnosing it, to placing the implants, to restoring the implants, then managing them postoperatively and managing any complications that could occur along the way. You know, and we use the greatest of technologies because we partner with many different vendors who offer discounts, academic discounts to the resident site. So they can get implants at a discount, they can get kits at a discount, they can get CAD-CAM technologies at a discount, CBCT scans, all the prosthetic components, for everything that's needed there, they can get it at a favorable price because it is an academic institution that they're working with. So we think it's a win-win for the patient, for the resident director, for the resident, and the university is just happens to be the vehicle you take to get there.
Yeah, I love some of the things that you said there. And some things that I kind of want to highlight are that it is real world dentistry. It's not that academic setting kind of dentistry that we kind of typically associate with a master's program or a residency program, which is wonderful because then it really helps enhance that. And like you said, I've found a lot of benefit as we've developed that technology, as we've been exposed to CT, the prosthetic components that we've worked with different vendors and the exocad. The CAD-CAM design. I think as we touch on those things in the residency program, it's such a wonderful blessing to be able to be exposed, like you said, to every part of the restorative process. Because sometimes doctors will pigeonhole themselves, oh, I'm just doing the restorative part, or I'm just doing the complications part, or I'm just doing the surgery part. And so being able to handle things from A to Z is a huge benefit. So I'd kind of like to jump into how it benefits a doctor that is going to be like a site director. And so Dr. Muir, you're here with us. You're my site director. Yes. Tell us a little bit, besides some of the things that Dr. Ratowski talked about, that you've been able to benefit from personally, but also like how it's been a blessing for you and your practice in having this affiliation with JU.
Yeah. You know, I think right off the bat, one of the things is, anytime you set yourself out to be involved in education and educating, it takes a different, or it takes a special person and a special mentality. And so for me, that's something I've always been involved in my career, and something I've always tried to be involved in. So as I had the opportunity years ago, before the program was even developed, to be a part of it, I said, yeah, keep me on that list. And as the program progresses and we get to that point, if I'm at the point in my practice and my career where I can make this happen, absolutely, I'd love to do that. I like to teach, whether it's children or adults, but definitely I like to teach people that are excited to learn. Mm-hmm. And so with this program, it has residents that will be involved in the program for 3 years, and so, or 2 years. And so it takes an excitement from the resident to commit to a 2 or 3 year program.
Yeah.
That was exciting to me. You know, and as you know, we've taught some shorter classes. We've worked with other dentists on certain things, and there's a different enthusiasm though when they set out with a goal that, hey, when this program's over, I want to be trained and know everything I need to know. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting to me. But as far as the benefits of working with residents and working with the program, Dr. Ratowski touched on some of these things, but it gives the opportunity for patients to join in on that journey. Mm-hmm. So some of the things we've done, some of the promotions we've offered have been geared a little bit around that educational side. Hey, you know, patient named John, you know, your situation, your anatomy, your needs fit exactly what we're trying to provide an experience about. And if you'll work with us on that, then we're going to give you a special rate. You know, for example, that's something that could easily happen. But then also, as we've worked together, you know, we have the opportunity to be highly involved in our day-to-day patient care. And so what a blessing to be able to say, Dr. Townsend, why don't you come over? Tell me what you think about this. Would you do anything different? Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. Townsend, I know you guys were talking about antibiotics and some of the new uses, or you said something about not using amoxicillin in this situation. What did you learn? How did that class go? And so for me, it's been really neat because I've got somebody that's in the cutting edge program and I get to piggyback off of that. And of course, if he doesn't know the answer, he says, hey, Dr. Ratowski, we've got another question for you. And so what a blessing to be involved in this network of people that are taking the time to be at the top of the educational and provider chain, really. So that's been really neat. I think our situation's a little bit unique, where what a blessing for me to have someone that you already did a residency. Mm-hmm. It was AEGD, Advanced Education in General Dentistry program, which gave you a lot of surgical and implant experience. And so you were already probably a little bit more ahead or prepared than most residents would be. And so the benefits I've had is you're such a well-educated, experienced provider, even when you're starting this program. And that's been a great blessing with the practice. You know, even the cases you were working on earlier today are just advanced and fantastic. So that's been a blessing to be able to share some of that load together, and just the camaraderie we've had. You know, this just reminded me, but when you were in your residency program, mm-hmm. We worked together a little bit because I taught your residency how to incorporate surgical guides, including the design and 3D printing and so on. And so that's something you guys were adding in that way. So that was something neat that we could do together before we started working together on a daily basis. But now that you're involved in the JU program, you didn't stop there with that technology side that I worked with you guys on. Mm-hmm. Through the JU program, you guys use the top dental design software. You're doing all sorts of abutments, crowns, dentures, full arch cases that you are learning to design, and we're milling and printing and fabricating in office so that we can treat our patients in a more timely manner, have products that are more customized, and we can make changes more easily as well. And really, the benefit that that's been for me is being a part of this has accelerated my learning by shaving years off of it. And so it's provided a lot of opportunity that way, just to be involved in this cutting edge design and implementation.
Well, let's kind of give, I've got another question for you, because we want to give someone a snapshot. Let's say there's a faculty member or potential faculty member in the United States that Dr. Ratowski is looking to kind of incorporate into the JU program, and they've got a few questions. I would imagine a question may be, what does your day-to-day look like, role look like, being a site director in this program? How does it really affect you, or is it not really affect you all that much?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of scenarios that would be worthwhile pointing out. So again, with your previous training, I don't have as many worries about, oh man, Dr. Townsend's going to get into trouble. This is going to be way over his head. Oh boy, I hope he doesn't get in too far. Mm-hmm. Because you already know what those boundaries are. Mm-hmm. You know where you're at, and you're not a cowboy, meaning you're going to work it out and plan the case beforehand. So with you, the experience has really been, we work as partners. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've tried to establish from the very beginning. I don't want any patient thinking that if they don't work with me, that they're working with someone that's second rate. And so to a patient, I'm absolutely going to build you up into the understanding of the clinician that you are, who is trained, who is thoughtful, who's intelligent, and so on. Now, let's flip the other side. If we have someone that is brand new to all of this, doesn't have that training background, that would be a little bit different, because I would be holding that hand a little bit more. We would be absolutely case planning in a very particular way to make sure we were on the same page. My day to day is Dr. Townsend and I meet every morning. We go over the schedule. We go over the consults of our day. We talk about any hurdles or obstacles with any of our patients that either one of us might have. And we go over those before patients are even in the building. And then throughout the day, we stick to that plan. If there's a situation where I want a second opinion, or where he wants a second opinion, then we radio over, hey, Dr. Muir, can I get a second opinion? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that what a blessing that's been. But in my experience, it's been together we can accomplish more than either one of us can do individually. And yes, there have been times where there's training involved. Yes, there have been times where you'll start a procedure and say, hey, can you get me through this next step? I want to make sure that I'm there. And, you know, as we talked about sinus grafting and things like that, tell, show, do, or, you know, however those teaching styles work. But by and large, it's, we each have our patient load. We work together, and it's been a wonderful blessing, I think, for both of us.
I would agree.
If I was with someone that was just starting out, I would block my schedule off, and we would do cases together, side by side, more often. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a way that, depending on the resident, that might be beneficial. What are your thoughts there?
No,
looking at the different.
100% agree. I think there's a couple different avatars of residents, in a sense. The one that comes with prior implant experience versus the one that doesn't come with much experience at all. And I think you hit it on the head. You've done an excellent job, I feel, from the resident end of giving me freedom to kind of push myself, but also following up and helping me plan things ahead of time. That way I don't get into a pickle. We had a case today that sinus lift. I lifted the sinus and I said, hey, there's a spot on the medial wall that's going to be a little bit tricky to navigate. So I just wanted your second opinion to come and see if you felt like I was up around that enough. And like you said, it's just nice to be able to discuss things and have more of that partner relationship, which I've been very blessed with you that you've treated it that way. But like you said, there may be a resident that needs a little bit more handholding in the beginning, and I think that's the beauty of this private practice resident model, is that it allows for that flexibility depending on who's with you. And hopefully the goal is to get them to that more partnership kind of feel, and you're kind of doing it and I'm here if you need help and guidance. But I think those are kind of the two real avatars. Dr. Witowski, from your end, as you are finding faculty to kind of join with us on this endeavor to become part of the JU program, is there anything else that you feel like is good for a future faculty member to know, that kind of what they're signing up for in a sense?
Well, Dr. Muir brought an excellent point there. It's got to be somebody who is loves teaching, wants to teach, wants to pass it on to the next generation. You know, dentistry is a bit of an unusual group of individuals, in that we went into this because we wanted to help people. And originally it was, you know, to help patients. And, you know, we just think of somebody with a toothache and we want to get them out of their pain and whatnot. And that's kind of what feeds us, is that that we get to help people. But that as you get into practice and you learn, then you realize that, boy, I can help teach, I can help others, those coming behind me, those that are younger than I, less experienced than I, and they can go ahead and they can, you know, learn from all the experiences that I've had, the education I've gotten, the experiences that I've had. But it's synergistic in that you're going to learn when you teach. The best way to learn is to teach, and vice versa. That student is going to ask you questions and make you think. And in a situation like this, where it's a residency, where Dr. Townsend is taking didactic classes in the evening, albeit asynchronously, and we should talk a little bit about that so we don't make people think you work all day and then you study all night. We do make this user friendly for you, but it's very synergistic in that it's good for the resident, it's good for the clinical site, the resident site, it's good for the patient, and it's good for that resident director. And it gives us all purpose and meaning. And I'm the oldest one in the group here. And as you get older, you do have to have a purpose and you do have to have a meaning in life. And that's why I struggled with just pure retirement, because, you know, I missed that I was being fed by students and by patients, that I was helping people. And that's what you want to do. And it's obvious that the two of you just want to help patients. You want to help people. You want to help them smile, enjoy life, chew with confidence, speak with confidence. And our best residents are those that come out of a residency program, either an AEGD or an AGD program. Currently, we have 27 residents, two of which are already ABOI diplomates, so they had a tremendous amount of experience, and yet they wanted to do a deeper dive into it. And so I've got two ABOI diplomates as residents and a maxillofacial surgeon who's been in practice for probably 30 years. But he said, you know, I realize that implant dentistry is changing so fast with all this digital dentistry, and what's all this stuff that we're doing, and we're printing and we're milling and all of this stuff, all this technology. And so he signed on with the program, and he's an excellent resident, that he just wants to learn more. And so you're never too old to learn. You're never too young to teach. And it's just synergism. It's a win-win-win for everybody going through it. Now, I like those directors to have a practice that does a reasonable amount of implants. They've got to want to teach. Okay, they have to want to do, what does the evidence show that we should do? Not just because they've done something, they may be a lot well experienced because they've done something a certain way for 30 years. That doesn't mean that things haven't changed and moved on. So they've got to be willing to learn themselves and do in their practices what is evidence-based. I respect everybody's experience, but we also do with this an academic program. It's not just passing on what my grandfather taught me about fishing, and then what my dad taught me about fishing, and then what I teach my son about fishing. Now, you know what? there are people, there is a science behind fishing, and we might as well learn it from the very best.
I loved how you brought up evidence-based dentistry. And I think that's one of the things that I've almost gained the most from this program. Last night, it's funny that we brought this up, is because last night I was going through all our old lectures and all the PDFs and the different evidence-based literature that we've received in the year and a half I've been in the course so far, or in the program. And I was astounded about the different things that I've learned so far that way. It's been quite a blessing. And as I've spoken about it with Dr. Muir, we were talking about it today, and he had even mentioned it as he was just talking, how it's cool that he's able to adapt himself as we're both uncovering new articles of literature that we haven't come across before, and then we can incorporate them. And so I think that is a huge benefit, because it's so hard to stay on top of the literature. And you, Dr. Ratowski, do an excellent job being the editor for the journal, like to stay on top of all these things. I don't know how you can just whip them off the top of your head like you do, but it is quite impressive. So I think that is one of the great benefits of we're always trying to stay current with that, just like you had mentioned.
So Dr. Townsend, we've talked about our side of this.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you tell us what drew you to the program, but then also tell us, what does your day look like? Because you have to juggle the didactic portion, the lab portion, and also the clinical portion. So tell us about your story.
Yeah. So I think to answer your first part of your question was the reason I decided to do this was because I wanted to make sure I was providing the best care for my patients. And as I look at individuals like yourself and Dr. Ratowski, who are extremely experienced, your ABOI diplomats, you both grade for the ABOI, you have tons and tons of experience. And so I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing in my future practice, I am to that status and I'm able to provide that highest level of care. And so that was something I wanted to do. Now, you and I, before we even started the program, had talked a little bit about this and kind of the different routes to potentially go. Now, for someone that previously was pursuing an ABOI, it's going to take hundreds of hours of
CE. ABOI being diplomat board certified by the American Board of Oral Implantology.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Yep. So being board certified by the Board of Oral Implantology. And so I wanted that status. And so there's a couple different routes to get that status. And previously, it involved hundreds of hours of CE. It involved a maxi course. It involved a bunch of different documentation on cases. And it took potentially 7 to 8 years. Remind me, how long did it take you to get yours?
I believe it was an eight-year process.
And so, and you were pretty on top of moving your process along to make sure you had that status. And so one of the benefits of this program was we were going to be able, as graduates of the JU program, to sit for that ABOI examination, because there's an oral and written component to that examination earlier than that 7 to 8 years. That timeline could be sped up. And Dr. Ratowski, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but I can sit for it after I graduate. And the written portion is not going to be a requirement, but the oral portion in the case presentation will be.
Yes, the ABOI, the board has to make that final agreement that we would be held on par with those completing a maxillofacial surgery residency, perio residency, or PROS residency, and that they do not have to take the written exam. They only have to take the oral exam. We have petitioned the board recently in conversations with the president of the board. The current board, he feels that it will be approved, that we will be on par with maxillofacial surgeons, perio and PROS, and we do not have to do that. We have just recently petitioned the ANC board, and that there's a very good possibility in conversations with the people on that board that our graduates would be just conferred by credential the ANC associate fellow. They would not have to take the examination. The written or the oral examination. So you complete the program, you petition the board, the ANC board, and that you should be getting your associate fellow without the examination process. ABOI diplomate status, you would only take the oral and not the written examination. And you will have your cases, some of your cases will have been in function long enough that you should be able to have your cases for the board, if not right at graduation, then within a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a blessing that is. I mean, I spent 8 years meeting all of the requirements for that. You'll be able to do it in about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's what an advantage that is, you know, that's pretty neat. So yeah. I'm a little bit envious, you know, my journey was a lot longer. I had to travel all over the country and multiple countries to get the education that I was trying to piece together. And you've got it in this consolidated place where the program brings all of these resources to you here in Montana,
yeah,
or where the other residents are in other parts of the country. And, you know, what an amazing thing that is. So what does your typical day look like?
Yeah. So typical day. So I've got two kids. And so one of the things that was really important to me with this program is my wife, when we signed up to do this program, she's like, I don't want you gone all the time. I don't want you going to work and then having to hop on lecture for 2 to 3 hours at night and then not seeing the boys and I, and then doing homework at the end of the night. And so one of the things that I've really enjoyed from this program is it is asynchronous. I'm able to hop on and watch recorded lectures when it makes sense for me. So my day typically looks like is I'll wake up and I may watch a lecture, or if I have time in between patients at work, I may watch a lecture at work. And that's just what has worked for me. And so it hasn't been a huge burden time-wise at home with my family, which my wife has really appreciated. It's been some, but it's been much more manageable. And I'm still getting that comprehensive education. Kind of like we talked about, there are tons and tons of great implant courses out there. And like you said, you had even mentioned this, it's hard because you have to kind of piecemeal your own education together. With this, I get the A to Z and it's laid out for me. Mm-hmm. And that part has been such a blessing that I don't have as much piecemealing that I have to do. Of course, there's things that I maybe not don't catch the first time. But in terms of day to day, I wake up, I may watch a lecture or listen to a lecture. I've even listened to lectures at the gym. And then come to work, I'll work and it's a normal 8 to 5 kind of thing. Do my notes, work on my cases. I may stay a little bit after depending on the day and design a case or different things like that. So
and,
pretty typical.
And one of the things we've talked about is just the idea of when you know you're going to need to devote more time to those lectures, more time to learning the softwares and so on, mm-hmm. then we say, hey, let's block him out at this time.
Yeah.
So lots of flexibility. It's just communicate what's needed and we find a way to make it work.
Yeah. So for residents, it hasn't been a huge burden from my end on that. And I think every resident can approach it differently. If you want to be on the live lectures, be on the live lectures. That just doesn't work for me as much. So I like being able to have that flexibility.
So we're running out of time at this point. This has been really neat, just getting all of us together. We have the program director's perspective. We have a site director's perspective. We have a resident's perspective. And what we'd like to do over a couple more of these episodes is talk about some of the procedures, some of the other aspects of the program, mm-hmm. and really answer questions that potential residents, potential site directors may have. Dr. Atowski, any closing statements as we're wrapping things up today?
I would encourage everyone to make the best use of your early years in dentistry, because the years will pass by quickly. I practiced for 44 years and I woke up one day and all of a sudden I was at 44 years when I thought I was just at year two. It just goes by so quickly. And that it's the decisions you make while you're young and getting as much education as you possibly can that will position you to be where you want to be later in life. In other words, just putting it off and putting it off will not get you to where you need to be or where you desire to be or where you want to be. And I've never regretted one course that I've ever taken. I spent a lot of time in school between pharmacy school, dental school, and my PhD program. I did have to learn how to manage my time effectively, but I don't regret one minute of that. And I know that our residents will not regret one minute that they invest in getting a master's degree in implant dentistry. It will improve their stature in the community with patients and with other clinicians. And those that desire to become resident directors, I encourage you to reach out to us at Jacksonville University. Those of you that would care to teach a didactic course and become an adjunct professor, please reach out to us. It's never too late to do that, and it's never too early to do that. Reach out to us, and I'm sure that there's some way that you can be involved in the program, either just as doing a guest lecture here and there, or being involved in the program greater. So you will never regret it. I love everything that the two of you said and your work together, the synergism there. And it really is, it's a blessing for the entire profession that we can have a program like this going. So I thank the university, because the university, they took a chance in doing this. And I thank them. I thank resident directors. I thank you, Dr. Muir. I thank the residents. I thank you, Dr. Townsend. So thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to present this program to your audience. Thank you.
Well, and thanks again for joining us. So what we'd like to talk about next time, Dr. Atowski, is let's get into some of the curriculum, you know, so we can show by example, here's year one. These are all the things we're going to cover. Here's as we get into the second year. And what does that flow look like? You know, when we say we're looking at technologies, we're looking at lab stuff, let's delve into it. So anyone investigating becoming a resident can see what that is. So we'll plan on that for next time. I want to thank everyone for watching today. Again, my name is Josh Muir, and we're here with Dr. Townsend, of course. And as our special guest today, we've got Dr. James Rutowski from the Jacksonville University Comprehensive Oral Implantology Program. So thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.